Blog Talk Radio.
In the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, January 9th, 2020. I hope and pray that your new year has been a happy new year, full of joy, full of rejoicing. As I think about tragedy and evil this morning, on the broadcast, I am remembering in my thoughts and prayers the family, the friends, and the loved ones who lost those closest to them in that horrific airplane tragedy this past Tuesday in Tehran. I'm speaking of Ukrainian Flight 752. Many of the passengers, 178, were Iranian Canadians. And on my timeline this morning is the story of an Iranian dentist and writer living in Canada who lost his wife and child in this horrible tragedy. I want us to remember them this morning. Many of these Iranians left the Middle East, left Iran for a better life. And as the dentist said in the interview, it was like I was punched in the face with the news of my wife and child. He said he called the school where his daughter went and said she will be absent forever. So let's think of them today. They're going through indescribable grief. And I hope and pray that answers will soon be forthcoming. Many have speculated when this plane took off, it was during the time that Iran was lobbing missiles at our military bases in Iraq. Some have speculated that perhaps one of those missiles accidentally downed that plane. We don't know that. There needs to be a thorough investigation, and Iran refuses to turn the black boxes over to investigative authorities. We need cooperation in this tragedy to give closure to the people that are hurting and suffering. So please be in prayer for all of these families and friends and loved ones that have lost their family, friends, and loved ones in this horrific tragedy. This morning on the Cross in the Desert, I want to reflect on President Trump's incredible speech yesterday to the American people after Iran fired 16 or more ballistic missiles toward our military bases in Iraq. And once again, we have a commander-in-chief who knows how to bring calmness to the people in the face of great tragedy. I want you to listen to this abbreviated version of his speech.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform. For far too long, all the way back to 1979 to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani. As the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani was personally responsible for some of the absolutely worst atrocities. He trained terrorist armies, including Hezbollah, launching terrorist strikes against civilian targets. He fueled bloody civil wars all across the region. He viciously wounded and murdered thousands of U.S. troops, including the planting of roadside bombs that maim and dismember their victims. Soleimani directed the recent attacks on U.S. personnel in Iraq that badly wounded four service members and killed one American, and he orchestrated the violent assault on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad.
It amazes me that the mainstream media is so critical of President Trump and the decision, the tough decision that he had to make last weekend. And on top of that, the mainstream media has an obsession of feeling sorry for Iran, of saying somehow that this was a terrible tragedy. It amazes me how the mainstream media, the Democratic liberal media, cannot say, well done, President Trump. Well done for protecting the lives of our Americans in Iraq and all over the world. Thank you, President Trump, for removing this parasite of evil that killed and maimed the lives of so many of our soldiers. Never once do you hear that. It is amazing to me. There has been such a deceptive force in the media. If you had a chance to maybe look at some video of the funeral a few days ago, and then learned that over 56 Iranians were trampled to death at this funeral, you would get the impression that all of Iran came out to mourn Qassem Soleimani. And yet, I'm here to tell you that what you see is not always what is true. And I'm going to explain that a little bit later. Right now, I want to feature a good friend. Her name is Erica. That's what she says her name is in English, so we can pronounce it. She's an Iranian-American human rights activist. She's been on my radio program before. She's an amazing lady with a very, very interesting background. She was just recently in the Middle East producing a documentary film on the Syrian people. She gets around a lot. But she's very, very knowledgeable about Iran because she used to live there. She's an Iranian-American human rights activist. I want you to hear Erica speak to us this morning about what's going on, what she thinks about this current situation, and how the president handled it. She has a good answer for all of the critics, and she actually explains why Iranians everywhere are so happy about the taking of Soleimani. Let's listen to her.
Hi, friends. So a lot of you have been reaching out to me asking me my opinion about what's going on and, you know, wanting to know my opinion. So here's my two cents. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sagar, also known as Erica for my American friends who can't say Sagar. I am Iranian American. I have spent the last 12 years of my life as a human rights activist working on Iran policy, watching the Middle East. Yeah, it's a super complex issue, and many of you probably before today had never ever heard of the name Mohandas or Soleimani, but I feel like we're living in the twilight zone, guys. I'm completely outraged at this notion that the propaganda machine that is the media is glorifying Qassem Soleimani. Do you people know that this man has not only the blood of Americans on his hands, but the blood of Iranians, Iraqis, Yemenis, Afghanis? I mean, since when did we start mourning the death of a terrorist? I mean, seriously, I've had like friends on the left, both Iranian and American, attack me for echoing the rhetoric of my people. The people in Iran are happy. The people in Iran are happy that this man who was responsible for the slaughter of so many people is gone. Like, where was your outrage last month when the regime slaughtered 1,600 kids for peaceful protests? Where's your outrage for the thousands of political prisoners that are in Iran right now? Where was your outrage when the Hashd-e-Shaabi took over the American embassy and like vandalized it and killed an American contractor? Like, I don't understand. So I'm sorry if I'm ranting, but who cares? My opinion doesn't really matter, but for the in the interest of those that have reached out, here's the deal. I'm an Iran watcher. I'm an Iraq watcher. I'm a Syria watcher. I'm an Afghanistan watcher. And for the people on the ground, they don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. In fact, there's a lot of trending hashtags right now from Iran on Twitter. Thank you, Trump. We thank you. Thank you for, you know, Soleimani. Thank you. You know, go look for yourselves. And, you know, honestly, guys, if you don't know anything about the Middle East, please keep your opinions to yourself. I beg you, because all you're doing is you're distorting the flow of information. You're drowning out the sound that's coming out from the ground. And people in Iran are happy. And they are giving out, you know, in the Middle East, it's cultural practice to, when something wonderful happens, when there's a marriage or when there's a celebration, you give out cookies, you make cakes. And you should see the videos that are coming out. People are baking cakes. People are giving out cookies in public in the streets because they're happy. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do we live in a closed society that we don't know that most people in, you know, in the Middle East are not free? Specifically in Iran, it's an Islamic state. There's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of peaceful, you know, protest. And for anyone who disagrees with the regime, they're arrested, they're jailed, they're tortured. You know, and yeah, there's a lot of video coming out right now about, you know, the funeral of Qasem Soleimani. It's so much propaganda, you guys. The regime has been saying death to America for 40 years. They forced us in school to say death to America. I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was saying. And the people that are like saying that right now, they're called the Basiji. They're like, you know, they're getting paid. They're the ones that get paid to kill people on the street. So yeah, they're going to say death to America, but that's not the people. The majority of the people in the Middle East don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. And I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends for saying this, but thank you, Mr. Trump, for making a very hard decision and for having the moral courage to do something that probably a lot of world leaders wouldn't have had. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. I love you guys. If you want to have a conversation, let's engage. Let's not attack. It's not healthy. And hashtag everybody calm down. There's no World War III coming, okay? God is in control, not man.
Thank you, Erica, my Iranian-American human rights activist friend. She puts everything in perspective because she lived it. And she is very vocal and outspoken because she understands the distortion and the deception going on in the media. I have here on my Facebook page, I've posted this, and it's gotten a lot of traffic, from an Iranian journalist. His name is Carmel Melamad. And I want to share this with you, following up on what Erica said about the funeral of Soleimani. He said, many of you have asked me what the deal is with the Soleimani funeral. So I'm going to share my information as an Iranian-American journalist who is following the story closely. Please do not believe the U.S.-Iranian regime media hype regarding the funeral. Journalists and bloggers in Iran that I am in contact with have been indicating me today that people in Iran have been forced to attend his public funeral by the regime thugs or face imprisonment or even possibly being killed. Iranians in Iran fear for their lives. This is why they have come out to the streets to quote-unquote mourn. The regime has shut down schools, forced businesses to shut down, and shut down public offices for this charade funeral. Children have been forced to cry for the TV cameras. It's a big show. Again, listen to these words of someone that knows what he's talking about. It's a big show and a big production the Iranian regime has undertaken to show that they are in control and the people of Iran supposedly loved Soleimani. The regime has bussed in Shiite supporters and their families, members from Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria for this big production. So the crowds are going to look huge on the cameras. The majority of the people in Iran are quite happy. This man who murdered innocent Iranians, 1,500 of them protesters, recently during the protest, they're happy he's dead. They are privately dancing and celebrating in their homes at the news of his demise. They are sadly under major duress from the regime and forced to carry out the funeral or face dire consequences. This funeral production is under the control of a brutal totalitarian dictatorship. Remember Kim Jong-un's second funeral in North Korea several years ago? It's the same deal here in Iran. Some words from someone to put everything in context for us. I want to speak to you from the heart these last several minutes on a topic that's very important for us as Christians and how we look at the death of evil people. You know, the Bible has something to say about this, and I think it's important that we listen carefully to the words of Scripture. Christians are often left wondering how they ought to feel when especially an evil person like a Soleimani dies. Think back to the death of Kim Jong II, Osama bin Laden, or even Hitler. Are we as Christians to rejoice and celebrate? Let's listen to what the biblical authors have to say to put this in perspective for all of us. Ezekiel 18:23. As surely as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Now that's pretty straightforward. Clearly, God is saying here, he doesn't take pleasure in the death of evil people. Why is that? Why wouldn't a holy and righteous God take pleasure, for instance, in the death of someone like a Qassam Soleimani? Well, I think it's pretty easy to understand. God knows the eternal destiny of people like Soleimani. God knows the reality, the horrible reality of the lake of fire. 2 Peter 3:9 states that God is not willing or wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. So in terms of the eternal destiny of evil people, no, I don't think we should rejoice in that sense at their eternal demise because of the reality of hell. We can rejoice in the world is a better place, that their evil actions like a Soleimani will no longer be carried out because he's not with us anymore. So we put an end to that evil. In that sense, we can rejoice. That's what Proverbs 11:10 says. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. And this, I think, is speaking of the death of evil people in an earthly, temporal sense. When there are fewer evil people in the world, if you will, the world is a better place. So we can rejoice when justice is accomplished, when evil is defeated. For instance, a mass murderer being removed from the world is a good thing. God has ordained governments and the military as instruments of judgment against evil. When evil people are killed, whether that's through the judicial system, the death penalty, or through military means, it is God's justice being accomplished. You can find that in Romans 13. For justice being done and for evil people removed from the world, in that sense, we can rejoice. But at the same time, we are not to rejoice at the eternal condemnation of evil people. God does not desire that. He does not rejoice, I think, that they go there. A few observations about evil. The Bible says about humanity, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. At one time, you and I, before we came to Christ, we had wicked, evil hearts, hardened hearts. We may not have been a murderer, a rapist, but the point is, the Bible says our hearts were desperately evil and wicked. What that says is that all of us, until we found our hope and freedom and forgiveness in Christ, all of us deserved hell. All of us were condemned. All of us were under God's wrath. And so, while I'm saying to you this morning, the world is a better place for the fact that Soleimani can no longer carry out his reign of terror, we rejoice in that, but never should we rejoice in a person's destiny in hell. Hell should make Christians weep. We should be more vigilant and proclaimers of the good news of the gospel. You know, AC/DC wrote a song several years ago, "Hell ain't a bad place to be. Your friends are going to be there." Oh, I hate to say it. Hell is a horrible place. Hell is a wicked, horrible place. And so this morning, I want to reach out to us to put this subject in perspective. I share with my Iranian friends the joy they feel, but I don't share in the joy of knowing that someone created in the image of God that became horribly corrupt and evil, if you will probably spend eternity in the lake of fire and condemnation. I can't rejoice at that. That's a horrible fate. What that says to you and me is, and what that says to the Iranian people, it is easy for us to look at ourselves as pretty good people, but that would not be the true indictment or the true reality of our human nature. All of us have sinned and broken God's law, and all of us can rejoice and find our hope in Jesus, where we find peace, everlasting life, and forgiveness. I hope that helps you with the perspective this morning. God says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would turn from their evil ways and embrace him. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise his son, to lay this sin and guilt on his innocent son, because through that salvation is given as a gift to undeserving humanity. I hope that keeps you in the right perspective this morning. Please pray for my Iranian friends to find their hope and freedom in Jesus. And please, I ask you to continue to keep the families and loved ones that lost their precious people in this horrific plane crash just a couple of days ago. I want to thank you, Mary, so much for being on the cross in the desert this morning. Thank you so much for being so supportive, Mary. You are just a blessing. Thank you to everyone who listened. I will see you next Monday on the cross in the desert. Have yourself an incredible weekend and be safe. Thank you.